Okay, so I wanted to try to define the machlokas, the three-way machlokas we had yesterday, okay? Between the Tosfos, the Ramban, and the Ran, okay? So we more or less we defined what each shita was saying to the best of our ability. But the question is, can we explain the svara behind each one? Okay. So that's the old difference, right? The definition versus the svara. So let's review that one more time over here. In other words, I can tell you that what each one is doing, right? I can tell you that the Tosfos is learning the Tanai in the literal sense. The Ramban is interpreting the Tanai in light of the get, and the Ran is trying to maintain the Tanai and the get. But what are they arguing about, really? Because that's what they're doing. That's the definition of that defines what they're doing. But what's the logic behind those choices? Meaning, what's the svara to why the Tosfos is taking this definition and the Ramban that definition? Right? In other words, what's the idea of how they're viewing Tanai and Get to come out with their own definitions? What's that, Jay?
Do you have a question like that anytime everyone has a different...
Yeah, so usually we try to get a svara. We try to get down to a svara. But this was just, it was just a little difficult yesterday to, we spent enough time on the definition. It's hard to get down to the svara. I gave you like the approaches, but that's like a definition approach. That's how they're, but Levi and Rafi were asking me for, we can get a little bit of a svara. Okay. All right, so let me, now of course, you know, can always go a little further and further, and what I'm going to say is a svara. You could always ask for deeper explanations, but I was thinking about it like this. Maybe the question is, what is really the relationship between the get and the condition? Okay, you know, is how do they operate together? When you have a maisa that you're doing al tanai, so you're giving a get on a condition, what's the relationship between those two elements? Okay, I mean like this. It's interesting, I was doing this with Chaim on Tanai. I got put through one paragraph and then just completely stumped. But in the first paragraph, but the first paragraph was very interesting. It gave me a similar, this idea really, I guess, is coming from there a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the question is like this. In other words, it seems to me like the Tosfos is learning that the condition is something that exists completely apart from the action that you're doing. In other words, you're giving a get, and there's an external entity of Tanai that you're... that you're introducing to sort of interfere with the get in a certain sense. Okay, but it's completely independent. There's no crossover between the two. Okay, so it's a get. The get is viewed as a completely on its own terms as a get, and the Tanai, the condition that you're proposing, has to also be viewed independently. Okay? So therefore, the Tanai can only mean one thing, can only mean a real mice and a suin. And Lamaisa, it's just going to have a limitation on when it's possible to exist. when it's possible to do that tonight.
He's going to call back.
Oh, that's what he's doing? Yeah. Volume. My volume. Okay, so in other words, that's the Tosfos. So he says the get is one entity, and the Tanai is a separate entity. You can make one contingent on the other, but they don't inform each other. They don't inform each other. So the each one is viewed on its own terms. So therefore, it's just going to turn out mamela that the only way this Tanai can be mekuyam is when the get is when the baal is dead. That's just the mamela, the only way it could work out. When you take each one on its own terms. Yeah, Gil.
What do you mean when you don't...
I'm going to explain to you that in a minute. Whereas the Ramban learns that they inform each other.
That was the Ron who says
they don't? No, that was Tosfos. Tosfos is saying each one is a firewall between them. They're separate entities. Okay? And therefore, you're forced into a one way to interpret. Are you trying to steal our stuff here? What's going on? You're forced into one way to interpret it. Okay? But the Ramban is learning that the get and the Tanai are merged into one in the sense of the statement itself. You know, as they become one entity of Dibur, and therefore the meaning of the Tanai has to be interpreted in light of the statement of the get itself. In other words, they're one in the sense that when you make the get al Tanai, it has a unity of language. It becomes one entity of Dibur, and therefore we're forced to interpret the the meaning of Nisuin in the context of the subject of the possibilities of the get. In other words, there's a certain uniformity of it, and it becomes one entity in terms of Dibur. According to Tosfos, they're like completely distinct entities, and each one has its own definition, its own realm, and we say here's the mice of the get, here's the mice of the Tanai, and each one is defined on its own terms. According to the Ramban, we say no, it's one entity, but it's one entity in terms of the Dibur. So therefore, when you're explaining a sentence, you can use we have to use the consistency. There's a certain rule of consistency, and we have to say, well, the beginning of the Dibur can inform us what the meaning of the Nisuin in the Tanai is. Okay. Let me just finish up. Maybe you'll see what I'm trying to get at. Whereas the Ron learns that they actually become one in terms of entity. That they actually form together one new idea of the get itself. So therefore, he learns the get and the Tanai really merge into one new identity. And in that sense, it becomes like a get that is given only for that shah when the Tanai is mekuyam. You know where I'm trying to go with this? No, I'm trying to say it's a question of what do you have when you take these two components and put them together? And that's going to determine how you view them. According to Tosfos, you just have two completely independent things. There's the full mice of the get, and then there's a completely independent entity of Tanai, and they're apart from each other in terms of identity. According to the Ramban, no, they form one identity, one entity of Dibor, and therefore in terms of interpretation of the words, we can use one to interpret the other. Whereas according to the Ran, they merge in terms of their very existence, and therefore we can say the get itself has become a different kind of a get.
What's the
So the difference between the Ramban and the Ran is that the Ramban never says that they become one new compound. He doesn't say that the Tanai actually infiltrates the very mechanism of what the get is. He just says, since you spoke it out in one sentence, we can interpret the word Nisuin in the context of the overall statement. And since Nisuin is not really possible if the get were to be batal, we'll have to interpret the statement in terms of derech nesuin. But the Ran is saying no. He's saying even further. The Ramban is like in the middle. Tosos is saying that each one has its own identity, and we don't use one to interpret the other. We don't have like a primary and a secondary. They're identical. They're equal. They're equal, different. They're equal components. According to the Ramban, it's sort of like the get is the ikar, and therefore we're going to. But there's like an ikar and a tuffel in the statement. It's one unified statement, and therefore we'll take the main entity of the get and we'll interpret. We'll try to make the sentence consistent in terms of the statement of get with the tanai that makes the batal. And then we'll say, well, you couldn't have meant plain pshat. We'll say you didn't mean real nesuin. Whereas the Ran is saying, no, it becomes like a different kind of a get. It's like a get. The tanai actually merges into a different kind of giving of a get. It's no longer simply a get with an extraneous contingency. It becomes like a different kind of a nesinas again, and they have to work out unified, in a unified way. And therefore, it'll have to be that it's like a nesinas haget that creates a hafgos of the ishus during the time that the nesuin is taking place, and then it reinstates itself. But the point I'm trying to make is that each one of our definitions you could look at as the result of a way of viewing the inyan itself. And when we say Tosus insists that you interpret the Tanai on its own terms, so now we're just saying that he's viewing, that's because he views the get and the condition as equal entities, equal separate components, equal separate entities. So one, whereas the Ramban is saying, no, we have to view the Tanai in light of the get. So he's saying it's one unified entity of Dibor, and that's interpretation of the meaning of the word. Whereas the Ran is going even further. He's saying it's one entity of reality. It's a whole new existence that you're creating. So therefore, we can interpret even the way the get is working consistently with the Tanai. Okay, so this begs the famous question: is every three-way machlokas a two-way machlokas?
Go through what the difference is.
So the answer is yes, but it could be either way.
No.
You could group the Ran and the you could group the Ramban and the Tosas if you want, or you could group the. All right, now we're going further in Pei Gimel. So let's just finish up. We didn't actually finish up the pshat, but the pshat is like this. The Gemara says, funny Gemara, it says, Amar lahen Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua said to them, these four Tanayim, Ein meishivin es ha'ari lacha misa. You can't refute the lion after he's dead. Im hoya kayam, shema yachzul lachem tshuva. If he was alive, he might have had an answer for you. It's funny, the Gemara in the next daf says that Rabbi Yeshua himself also had a question. But, so he says, Omar Rava, Kulu Islahu Pircho Levar Mid Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Lay Slay Pircho. So Rava said, each one of these Tanoim has a question against their question, has a problem with their question. Except for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who holds Croesus, right? That's our thing of Croesus. Okay. Tanya Namiachi. Tanya Namiachi. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Roa Anias Divri Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Divri Kulin. Fine. So now the Gemara goes back to each one. So in each one, it's going to find what the Pircha is. It's going to define better what their question was and look for the Pircha. So let's start with Rabbi Tarvin. So that was his question. Doesn't it turn out that the husband, when he gives this get, is oker davar min haTorah? What's he oker? Yibum, right? Comes out, he's oker yibum. What does that mean? He's oker yibum. He oker yibum. All right, let's see. Go ahead. Go ahead. Who wants to read for me? This is hard.
Oker.
Oker.
You akar.
So he says, "What do you mean oker? Did he uproot it?" Now Rashi, this is important. What does it mean, ihu akar?
Klomar.
So Rashi is very important. Rashi is saying that what? What does it mean? What does oker mean? Oker means mamish, to uproot the thing. And he's more explicit. He says here, the Gemara's first question in Rabbi Tarfon is, it just uprooted by itself. He just caused it. He didn't actually do it. Yeah. Oker mashmo ha'osa iser biyadayim. So really oker, Rashi's saying, is the same meaning of really being over an iser. The lashon of oker implies avera. So how can you say he did an avera? What was his avera? He violated Yibum. Maybe you'll say that Yibum was violated because of him. Yeah. The Yivumin Halalu Einan Mutol Olav. That's very, very clear. The first line of questioning is, how could you say that the Gemara thought Rabbi Tarfon was, well, I mean, didn't think about it. It's eliminating the meaning of Rabbi Tarfon to be mamish over an iser. It says, what iser is the husband over? He can't be over iser yibav, not doing yibum. It's not mutla love. He's not chayvin yibum to anybody here. So how could you say he's really an oker? I mean, they're interpreting oker just to mean over, right? So you can't say that by doing this Tanai, he himself will be over an Isser. Go ahead, let's follow through.
Hello, Masno, the Uker Dabar Minator.
I didn't understand that he was just over an Isser. I thought it was that he was forcing a problem, like an undermining of the Torah's institution, which isn't like an Isser in and of itself. It's right. Like its own Isser, so
you're
not the Isser.
Oker Mashma Ha'osa Isser Biodayim. Oker is mashma. I mean, it's a good question. So why is it used the word oker? But he's saying oker is mashma. Literally, when it says oker, it's mashma that you're actively violating an isser.
Is it a separate isser, or is it that?
Oh, a separate isser.
Of akira, or whatever.
No. You'll be violating whatever it is. The isser is. It would be like if he were to, what would it be like? It would be like if a person makes a shvua not to eat matzah. That's a shvua that's oker davar min haTorah.
So what's the issue?
The issue would be he'd be violating he'd be making a shvua to violate a mitzvah in the Torah. So it makes a shvua to eat chazer. That's a shvua. That's oker davar min haTorah. The shvua itself is forcing him, is demanding that he violate a mitzvah. That would be something, that would be saying, you can't make that shvua, that's oker davar min haTorah. So the Gemara is saying, what are you talking about, Rabbi Tarfon? This is oker davar min haTorah? How is he oker davar min haTorah? Maybe he's a goreim, but you can't call him an oker davar min haTorah. So at best we can say he made a condition of what? To be oker davar min haTorah. To have something from the, to uproot something min haTorah. You can't really say he's doing something. So he made some condition that causes her to be oker davar min haTorah. Go ahead. So what do you mean masne? He told her she has to do it. Who told her she has to do it? She had to marry this guy's brother. That was the only thing that was sufficient. And the condition. There was no way to fulfill his get without marrying this guy's brother.
What does that mean? Yeah, I don't know what that question means.
It means to say she can marry anyone, so you can't say he made a get that demanded that she do something that will be oker davar min haTorah. The get said she has to marry this guy's brother?
No, it doesn't.
Therefore, it's not his problem if she does go and marry him, and therefore she causes being oker davar min haTorah. He never said, you have to do this. Because he's not causing it anymore. He's saying, marry anyone, I don't care who.
Just not this guy.
Just not this guy, right. And she goes to his brother? No, but the point is you can't say he designed a situation that must result in Akira's davar min haTorah. Okay, good.
Why not? Because if he hadn't made the Tanai at all, then
That's true. And if he hadn't married her to begin with, he wouldn't have given her the get. Okay, go ahead. All you can say is he's a goreim. You're absolutely right. He's a goreim. But there's a difference between being the cause of what ultimately happened and being considered, determining it to happen. Can't say he determined that it should happen, that... That she's oker davar min haTorah. All you can say is, if it wasn't for him, she wouldn't have been oker davar min haTorah. So that's a goreim. Grama's not so, he's not responsible. Go ahead.
Goreim?
Goreim? So what are you going to tell me? Goreim is a problem? In other words, now we've finally gotten down to what Rabbi Tarfon meant. All Rabbi Tarfon could have meant now was, how are you a goat? Now you're going to be a goreim of an oker davar min haTorah.
Yeah.
Right? So who cares? Goreim.
Ela me'ata vas afiv lo yisa shema yivos below panim aminimsa goreim oker davar min haTorah.
So now you're going to tell me, let's say a regular case. Let's say a guy gives his wife a complete, full, normal get. Right? So you're going to tell me now she can't marry... she can't marry her uncle? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She can't marry her uncle. Or in general, anyone. Doesn't even have to do with a get, right? Okay. Now you're going to tell me that no woman should marry her uncle. Why? Because if her husband dies, she won't be able to do yibum to his brother, who is her father.
And therefore he's a goreim?
I need a full
trouble. Anyhow, so so that's what he says, Hainu Pircha. That's exactly the question. That is exactly the question. Hainu Pircha Damar Lakulu Islu Pircha. That's exactly the question. from Rav that Rav said existed on Rabbi Tarfon. It's a tough question, huh? What do you say, Gil?
Yes. Could you just go over the use case quickly again?
Yeah. In other words, now what are you going to tell me? Now, why can't he make this get like this? Because if he makes a get like this, it could come out that in a certain circumstance, it'll prevent the mitzvah of Yibum from taking place, right? So the Gemara says, well, that. So then you're going to tell me you can't do anything that might interfere with the mitzvah of Yibum? So then how can a woman marry her uncle? If her husband dies, then she won't be able to do Yibum because it'll be to her father. So you see that just being a goreim of an Oker Davar Min HaTorah is not a problem.
It's not a problem.
Hainu Pircha. Now the Yerushalmi actually answers the question. I didn't give you that. In the Rashba, he quotes the Yerushalmi later. He says that's the Torah doing it. This is him doing it. You do sense there's a difference.
What's the Torah?
No, the Torah says you can't marry your father. Right? Whereas over here, it's his condition that's preventing her from marrying the Yavam.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, for instance, like Meir was saying, she wouldn't, if a woman married her uncle and he died, and then she falls to her father in Yibum, she wouldn't do Yibum or Chalitza. There's just no institution of Yibum there.
Yeah. Meaning what?
Whereas over here, she would have to do Chalitza. Because there really is a chiyuv of Yibum, it's just he's preventing it from happening. So it's not really the same kind of a... The question is not really the same. The question is... the question for marrying an uncle is different. That's just... There is no Yibum in that situation. So you have you don't have an obligation to get married to a situation where there may exist a chiyuv Yibum. It's like choosing not to wear a four-cornered garment. It doesn't mean you're a mevatel tzitzis. You're mevatel tzitzis when you can put them on and something is preventing you. So here, he is setting it up that although there would be the mitzvah of Yibum, he's preventing it from happening. So that's the pircha on the pircha. So at least his question... exists, at least you can't say to him, here's an equally difficult situation that we all know is not a problem. Because marrying your uncle is not really a goreim oker davar min haTorah in the same way that his get is creating a grum of oker davar min haTorah. Yeah. I was now taking up a little bit of a tangent into the question over here. In the Rashba. Other Rishonim too have the same problem. Very, very interesting. So it's an ingenious Rashba. Really enjoyed this one. But it's a little difficult to work through. A little bit hard to read. Okay? So let's see if we can get it straight. He says like this. A little bit of a cheshbon in the beginning. So he says like this. Vikasha li. Ready? Dimidika masmiha. Masne mika omar la. So since the Gemara says, what do you mean he's a masne? Mashma di omar la hochi havile masna mashakosav batorah. Okay, it's mashma that what? That what does the Gemara mean to say? He's not an oker, but he's a masne. So to be a masne, that was going down in levels. Oker means he's really himself setting up where he's violating a mitzvah. Masne means he's setting it up as that violating the Torah is a condition itself. And that's called masna al mashakas of the Torah. Kigon de omar le al menashe tenasi leruvein v'shelo tenasi leshimon ochev. It's as if, in other words, if he really would have made that exact condition, let's say, where he would tell her, on the condition that you specifically marry Reuven and not his brother, right? V'i omar lo hochi havalom pshita tve dekasha le de Rabbi Elazar, domar reze megureshes. Okay, ready? It's a little bit confusing, but you got it? Let me say it like this. When the Gemara says, what do you mean he's a masna? That implies that if he was really a masna, that would be a good question. Right? Yes. The Gemara is saying, what is your question? Are you saying it's like he's a masna? He's not a masna. But by saying that, it implies if he were a masna, it would be a problem. Right? So he says, and what would the problem be? Because he would be making, violating the Torah, a condition of his get. But v'tomal atzmacha, you should be astounded by yourself. E masnal mashakosav b'torahu adaraba. If it really was a masnal mashakosav b'torah, then pungfaker, the opposite is true. Bein l'Rabbi Eliezer, bein l'Rabbanon, lahavi get. The tishtari afil lahai, demas namashikasa b'torah, tonight batal maisekayim. Well, the Gemara's question is totally reversed. It says to Rabbi Tarfon, what's your question? You think you have a great question? Well, what, you think you have here a masna question? You don't have a masna question. All you have is a gorim question, right? And gorim is nothing. But the implication is if he had a masna case, that would have been a good question. But it wouldn't have been a good question because masna al mashakas of b'torah, everybody agrees that tanai is butl and the get is kayam. So it wouldn't, if it really was masna, then if you really consider this to be masna, then it would, the get would be good according to everybody. Even the rabbanim would agree it's a good get. And then and the tanai would simply be butl. So it can't be, how could the Gemara say that Rabbi Tarfon would have had a good question if it was a masna case. And that would have been a good pircha on Rabbi Eliezer. How could Rabbi Eliezer allow this get? It's a masna. But the get should be batal. The get should be batal. But no, on the contrary, if it's really a masna situation, the tanai should be batal and the get should be kayam. Yeah. I mean, basically the Rashba's question is why there's a clear implication that there's a masna possibility in this get, which would not rise to the level of being a masna al mashakasa b'torah. That's what he's searching out. He's searching out a possibility, the possibility that the Gemara is passing over, but should exist theoretically, which would be that it's not a masna al mashakasa b'torah, which is intrinsically batal, but it's not just a gorim. He wants to know what lies between those two cases. What lies between masna mashakasa, what makes it a masna mashakasa b'torah where we call it a tanai batal, and a masna mashakasa b'torah where we wouldn't call it a tanai batal, but we'd say it's a question because it's considered oker davar min haTorah. In other words, sometimes we say a masna mashakasa b'torah is automatically an invalid tanai. And other times, namely here, the Gemara is contemplating a possibility of a masna al mashakas of b'torah, that the tanai would be kayam, but it would create a strange situation where it's oker davar min haTorah. How is that possible? That's what he wants to know. It's a little bit hard to understand what I mean unless you have a little bit of an understanding about what we're going to be talking about. One of those problems.
The only thing I'm confused
So let me give you that's exactly the question. How is it not by definition the same thing? That's exactly his question. So let's take a straight, simple case. What's masla? Give me a case of masla mashkasa b'torah where we say tanai is bottle and the mekach is kaim. So the classic case is a man says to a woman, Hare at mikudeshes li almanas she'ein li olayich she'er ksus va'ona. Right? So he says, a man says, when a man marries a woman, he has responsibilities to, he has three responsibilities to her. Okay? Support her, she'er ksus and ona. So support her and clothe her and live with her. Okay? Like a marital relations. So let's say he says to the woman, I want to be married to you, but I don't want the response, I don't want to have any, I want to not have those responsibilities. Okay?
So
that's a clear case of a masla mashkasa b'torah. And what happens? We say in that case what? Tanai is batal and they're married. The marriage is good and the condition is batal.
Oh, meaning it overrides the tanai.
That's right. Because you cannot make a tanai against the Torah. So it turns out you just entered into a regular marriage. You tried to make a marriage and the condition that you shouldn't have the obligations that the Torah says marriage has. Too bad. That tanai is completely ineffective. And your kinyan is good. So that's called a masna al mashakasa b'torah. And we all agree that when someone is a masna al mashakasa b'torah, the tanai is batal and the mekach is kayim. So that's his question. His question is here, the Gemara seems to be saying there's a possibility that Rabbi Tarfon was saying that this would be a masna al mashakasa b'torah and the tanai would not be batal. Because if the tanai would be batal, then Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't have a case. Right. No, Gary's right. It's only by the ono, because that's the sharing ksus is mammon. Sharing ksus is mammon, right? So you could, it's nice shel mammon is kayim, but ono is not mammon. So that's you're correct. Thank you. Okay. So now he says like this. He says v'yesh lomar dafilu hecha disno aleha amanasha tenasi liruvein. So even if you would make this explicit condition. Don't marry Reuven. Marry Reuven, and don't marry Shimon, his brother. That would still not be considered a masna mashkasa b'torah. Why? Because, very interesting. Why? Because she doesn't have to do. Fulfill the condition at all. She does not have to fulfill the condition at all. The mikomar law lo sagid lo minasva leploni, lo tinsov lo tigaresh. Like the Gemara says later, if a man gives his wife a get and says, "This is your get on the condition you eat chazer," the Gemara says that's not all. That's not masla mashkasa b'torah.
Why not?
Because she doesn't have to eat the chazer, and it won't be a get.
Isn't that two different things?
Lo ticho, v'lo tigarish. Lo ticho, v'lo tigarish.
So
she has an option. He's not forcing her to violate the Torah.
Whereas in the first case.
In the case by Kedushin?
Yeah, I'm very.
To accept the Kiddushin would be saying, oh, he's going to explain it. But simply put, let's say by the Gerushin, there's no agreement. He's just laying out an option on the floor. Here's an option for you. Eat the chazer, you'll be divorced. Don't eat the chazer, you won't be divorced. There's nothing happened. There's nothing.
She has a choice.
Yeah, he's just creating a choice for her. I mean, we'll see. That's some cases of Machlokas later on. But he's saying, but when he says, when she accepts the Kiddushin and says, and it will be a Kiddushin without Ona, that's different. that's already a mevatel davar min haTorah. We have to think about it. We have to get into it to find out better. Okay. So now he says like this. Okay, so we've removed the problem of being a masnal mashkos haBetorah and the Tanai should be batal, because we can say it's like the Chazar case. Right? As long as he simply is giving her an option, we don't call that a masnal mashkosav and Tanai is batal. Okay? Now let's get a little bit of an idea. So how do we understand? What does it mean to be a masnal mashkosav batar and Tanai batal as opposed to this case? What's the basic svara for that? That why is the ona case different than this?
You mean by Kedushin?
Yeah. Why do we say by the ona case that's a masna mashkasa b'torah and tanai is batal, but over here we say it's just a lo ticho v'lo tigarish? Nobody told her that she has to get divorced. Right. Correct. Correct. In other words, by the Kedushin, what you're basically trying to do is change the nature of the Kedushin.
Which can't be done.
That's a problem of a masnal mashkasa b'torah. He's trying to say, let's have a Kedushin that doesn't have this aspect that the Torah says Kedushin has. So if she were to accept that, there's nothing to accept. There's no acceptance on a thing like that. You understand? You can't accept something like that. There's no such thing. There's no such description of the Kedushin that is, you can't construct your own Kedushin. Okay? So that's the intrinsic masnal mashkasa b'torah problem. That if you try to modify the institution of Kedushin, the modification simply is batal. Okay? The modification is simply batal. But over here, what?
The Chazar case has nothing to do with the Kedushin. Yeah, they're not on the same track.
I have to think about that. Doesn't sound exactly like what he's saying. Right.
Meaning the acceptance of the Chazar Tanai doesn't undermine Gerushin in any way.
Right,
How specific is Oker Minotaur?
Well, he hasn't gotten to the Oker problem yet. Now he's trying to remove the Masneh problem. So he says, okay, we can get rid of the Masneh problem.
Okay.
But he says, Ella Kati Kasha, but we still have another problem. If we know that it's good to give a woman a get that says, on condition you eat Chazar, why is this any worse than that? In other words, we know now why the condition should exist. Because it's not considered the condition that's oker davar, that's masnal mashkasa b'torah. You're not, the subject matter of the Tanai is not davar shel Torah. Notice his first understanding is masnal mashkasa b'torah doesn't mean that you use something in the Torah as your condition. It means you're trying to conditionalize a thing of the Torah itself. You're trying to alter and change the way that the institution of the, right? So that's why, like we're saying, the condition to eat chazer is not a masnal mashkasa b'torah.
Yeah.
Okay. But the problem now is, why isn't it exactly like our case of oker davar min haTorah?
Yeah.
And we know it's not. We know it's permissible to do that. Nobody says over there, you can't make that condition because that'll be oker davar min haTorah. So if we know that that's not oker davar min haTorah, what would the question be on Rabbi Tarfon that he's oker davar min haTorah? I mean, why is Rabbi Tarfon more of an oker davar min haTorah than someone who says, al menashe tochli b'chazer? Both of them don't have the problem of masna, and both of them have some institution, some other mitzvah being affected. So how come by the Chazer case, which sounds a lot worse to me, that one we say is okay, and this one we say is no good, right? That's his question. Ella akati kasha, the imkain my kokoshile Rabbi Tarfon ain't that krisis. What's the question in Rabbi Tarfon that this get is not krisis? The ha baal menashe tochli boser chazer, the tanya ochla reza mugureshes v'leka manda polaga my lo amin ochla nimsa okadavim in a Torah ain't that krisis. Why doesn't the Gemara say over there that how could you say Almanasha tochli chazer is good when she eats it? It turns out you're making her be okadav min haTorah. V'kol dekein hu dema hasam dekakar biyadayim al yedei tanoa kori le krisus koshkin hacha deshevi al tasehu davi krisus. He says, on the contrary, that case is much worse, because that case you're making the condition of this get for her to actively be ochre davar Torah. She has to actively eat chazer for this to be a good get. And nobody has a problem with that. And over here, there's just a possibility that she'll have to do a shevi al tasa and not perform yibum, and that's a terrible thing all of a sudden. It just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. If I would match them up, I would say, which is a much worse infringement on another institution in the Torah, when you make the actual Isser B'Yodayim, the Tanai, the condition for its completion, or when you set up a circumstance that may result in a case that she won't be able to perform a mitzvah thing. I mean, either they're equal or that case is worse. But it doesn't make sense to say that that case is fine and this case is a problem. Got it?
Yeah.
That's his question.